It's not often that I do this, but for some reason today, I really felt like the Lord was putting this on my heart, and so I'm gonna preach to you from a different book other than Hebrews, and we'll start our series on Hebrews next week. But God had really laid something on my heart this week, and I think it had a lot to do with our outreach yesterday and some of the people that I came to talk to and pray with, and God kind of shared with me that there's going to be some people here that need to hear this. And so I'm just trusting God on this. And I hope you guys will give me a little grace because I don't have anything planned for this particular word that I'm going to share with you. And of course, I'm running on empty, and so hopefully my words come out clearly. Let me pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for just speaking and for guiding. And Lord, I pray today that you will use your humble servant to communicate your words in a clear manner, that people will receive them the way they were meant to be received. That only you, Holy Spirit, can open hearts to receive what it is you want to give. And so, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to open hearts today. And Lord, we just come before you to give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, one of the things that God started speaking to me is that oftentimes we look at our relationship with God is we have to somehow earn that relationship. That we have to somehow clean up our lives. We have to leave all of our burdens before we can come to church. That we have to have our relationships right with each other, that we have to be in good standing somehow in our own mind before we can come before the throne of God. And it keeps people from having a relationship with God. It keeps people from having a relationship in a community of believers that are there to encourage and support and build up, not to judge you, but to love you. And too often, people feel like they're being judged in church or being judged by other believers. Maybe they're not being judged, but maybe that's the sense you have. Maybe you're feeling that you are being judged, and therefore, I can't be part of this. And let me tell you something. As a pastor, I'm not here to judge anybody. I deserve judgment before you do. I'm preaching the Word of God, and if I do it wrong, I deserve judgment. I'm not here to judge anybody. And for those that know me, I was the least likely candidate in my yearbook to become a pastor, just so you know. I was not always seeking God in my life. I was seeking Tim and what's best for Tim. And it took a lot of soul searching, and it took a lot of God distracting me and taking things out of my life that were bad for me to come to realize that. Sometimes we have to be knocked down on our knees to realize who God really is. That He desires a relationship with you so much that He's willing to take those barriers out of your life so that all you have now is you and God. And that's a time where you can either come to Him or a time you can continue to run from Him. And for those that I've gotten to know that chose to come to Him instead of run from Him, they've got a story. They've got a changed life. They've come to know the love of God in a way that they would have never come to know it. I'm one of those people. You know, I grew up in a situation where I had to put on my tie every Sunday. I had to look my best. My outward appearance and my outward actions were more important than what was in my heart, because my heart was far from God. But my appearance would tell you, here's a little church boy going to church. He must have his act together. I was far from that. I was very far from that. And that's one of the reasons that I don't dress up on Sunday, because I want people to know that it's about what's in your heart, not your outward appearance, that God cares about. He cares about your heart. If you all have a Bible, would you turn to Romans 3? Somebody need a Bible? So we're going to look at Romans 3 today, and this is not Hebrews, obviously. Romans is the New Testament. It's after the book of Acts, and it's actually a book written by the Apostle Paul to the Roman church. So in Romans 3, I'm going to start with verse 10, and I'm going to read this. I'm reading out of an NIV translation, so it may be a little different than what you're reading out of, unless you have an NIV translation with you. And this is the word of the Lord, and this is Paul writing. He's pleading with the Romans. He says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." I read that, and it's so easy to go, whoa, those people are messed up. Look at these unrighteous, unbelieving people. But then I go back and read that first verse that says there is no one righteous, including me. So who am I to judge? It's very clear that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all under the trap of sin, and sin deserves punishment according to the word of God. When you compare yourself to a holy, righteous, sovereign God, there's no comparison. We weren't meant to be God. You can't be what created you. You can be the creation, you can't be the creator at the same time. And so we are his creation, his beloved creation. And none of us are righteous, we all fall short. And God's okay with that. Did you know that? He loves you, he created you, he purposed you, he put you here because he loves you. You don't have to be righteous for God to love you. He loves you unconditionally. Now, if we go on, verse 19, it says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God." So what is this law that we're talking about? If any of you have spent any time in the Bible and read the Old Testament, there's a man named Moses. Moses was selected by God to bring Israel out of captivity from Egypt, and that's what started the Jewish people, the Israelites. They became the Jews of the Old Testament. They were God's chosen people to demonstrate who God was through them. And so God gave Moses this law. We call it the Mosaic Law in theology school. You can think of it as the Ten Commandments, which are far greater than Ten Commandments, by the way. There's a whole list of commandments. But God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai to give to Israel. And Israel was told, you have to follow this law or there are consequences. All right, so that's the law that we're talking about here. Now it says, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." The reason for that is because we get proud, we get self-righteous, and we start to elevate ourselves up and consider ourselves equal to God in some sick way. And God's saying, you can't live according to my law, according to my law of righteousness, and be able to do it without sin. You will break it one point or time in your lifetime. You are not righteous like I am righteous. God is completely righteous. And we try to set ourselves up and convince ourselves that either A, we're righteous and we judge others, or B, we're unworthy and we miss out on our relationship with God. What Paul is saying, the whole law wasn't meant to condemn. It was meant to give freedom. And too often that law is used to condemn, to judge, to set ourselves up above others, to make others feel like they can't have a relationship with God, which is all God desires. Now, if we go on, it says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Okay, the Ten Commandments and all the commandments that God gave Moses in Deuteronomy and Leviticus were meant to point us to God's righteousness and to understand His definition of righteousness. And it's something we are to strive for, but it's something to realize that we can't be a holy God. We are His creation. We are not the Creator. And so it says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. If you guys know the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 1, God said, all this is good. Genesis 2, God said, this isn't so good. He creates man and woman, and the first thing man and women do is they rebel against God. Sin comes into the world. So even though you weren't Adam or Eve, you didn't eat that fruit, the transgressions of Adam and Eve passed on from generation to generation. We're all under the curse of sin. There was something that took place there. God had a plan, even from that point on. He had a plan. His plan was what took place in that garden with sin to undo what took place in that garden on the cross. Because of what took place in that garden, we lost all righteousness. We lost all relationship with God. And we are walking in darkness from that point on under the curse of sin. And so what does God do? He sends His Son to undo everything that was done in that garden, to bring you back into a place of righteousness, not by works, not by anything that you could do to earn righteousness, but by what His Son did to earn for you. He lived a righteous life and died on a tree to pay the price for you and me. That's love that none of us will ever understand as deeply as God is. He willingly came and walked as a man, faced trials, was accused and judged and called all kinds of names, was mocked and flogged, and walked up to a cross and nailed to a cross to die a bloody death so that we could be righteous in the sight of God. You can't earn that. It's a gift. No other religion in this world has a God that pursues you, a God that loves you, like Christianity. Jesus Christ came and showed and demonstrated the character and nature of the very God Himself and poured out His love to show you how much He wanted a relationship. And you can't earn it. That's the one thing. We cannot earn that. He says, come as you are, like that song we just heard today. Come as you are. Does God desire a pursuit of righteousness? Absolutely He does. But we have to realize that we can't do that on our own. We can only do that through Jesus Christ. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, He tells you, I'm going to give you a counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will guide you in all truth. That's the work of the Holy Spirit that begins to sanctify us and begins to develop us into a whole new being. We can't do that on our own. It's a spiritual transformation that takes place. If we go on, verse 22, or I'm sorry, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This was God's plan. Here's the whole point in all of this. It's not about our righteousness. It's about recognizing God's righteousness. It's to understand that Jesus did something on your behalf. God wanted a relationship with you so bad since the time of the fall in the garden that he went to great lengths. He used an entire nation to help bring about Jesus Christ into this world to show you how much he loved you. He went to great lengths, and yet we continue to reject who he is. We continue to reject the name Jesus Christ. We continue to tell ourselves we're not good enough to be in a relationship with God. We continue to walk away from him even when he brings us down to our knees. And we blame him for everything that goes wrong in our lives. And yet he did the most incredible act he could possibly do to demonstrate how much he cares about you. No other God that you'll read about in any other religious text will demonstrate that kind of love. Every other God that you read about is out to knock you down, that you have to earn your way, that you have to do this, that you have to do that, and there's no guarantees. This God goes to great lengths, great extremes, uses countless people who are willing to give up their own lives to show people who Jesus is. That's the kind of God that I want to pursue. That's the kind of God that could only change my life. It's the God that did change my life. And so if you guys are struggling, if you're blaming God, if you're angry at God, if you're accusing God, saying, why did you do this to me? You're asking the wrong questions. I often ask, why did you send your son on my behalf? Why did you have to die on a cross for me? Who am I to blame you for anything? I'm not willing to get up on a cross and die for anybody else, but yet you came and did that for me. And I'm blaming you, and I'm mad at you. If you are angry with God today, you can be angry, but understand this. Whatever might have gone on in your life, wherever you might be in your life, it's not because God hates you, it's because God loves you. And sometimes he takes things out of our life to bring us closer to him to understand who he is. We don't have to earn it. He earned it for us. Too often we go on in life and we try and do things separate from God, and it doesn't work out, and then we're the first ones to blame him. I've been there. I've been through some horrible situations in my life, and I blamed God for it at first. I was mad at him. And then when I got to really know who he was through his word and through the testimonies of others that I came to know, I recognized that that wasn't because God hated me. It was because he loved me, and he took things out of my life that were bad for me, that I didn't recognize at the time were bad for me. And because of that, I was able to come to him and have a restored life, a new creation in Christ. And my life has changed forever. So I want to invite you today that if you're struggling with that, if you're mad at God, if you're trying to earn favor with God, if you're trying to figure out how you can have a relationship with him, I encourage you to spend some time in Romans 3 today and ask God to reveal to you who he really is. Because when you start reading that, he's going to show you the righteousness that he's bestowed upon you through Jesus Christ. He's going to show you how much he desires a relationship with you. It's what's in your heart. It's not anything else. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for what you did, Lord. You don't care about our appearance. You don't care about our works. You just want a relationship. You want each person in this room to come to you, to seek you out, and to know that you are God. You showed up in the form of a man named Jesus Christ to walk this earth, to go through the struggles we go through, and yet be sinless. Father, you endured all kinds of things because you love that great. And Lord, for those that haven't been able to receive that today, Father, open their hearts. I just plead with you today, Father, to open their hearts and have them understand who you are. And Lord, I thank you so much for changing my life. And I just pray your blessing upon each person today that their life would be changed as well. That things that have been removed out of their life, Father, might be a good thing. And it might be done to get them on the right path, to show them who you are and to draw them closer to you. Father, help people to see that. Lord, help us to recognize that this world is going to disappear someday. And that you've promised a new earth and a new heaven and a place where we will be with you through eternity. Father, I pray that disciples would grow from this ministry. I pray that people would declare Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior throughout the streets of Louisville and the surrounding areas. I pray that those that we got to minister to yesterday, that a seed was planted, that people would start searching for you. And Lord, I continue to pray that you would use this congregation to go out into the streets around us and to continue to plant seeds and glorify your name. Father, I pray that you provide for every need in this room as they go forth this week, that you provide for every financial need, that you provide for every health situation, Father, that you are the great healer, the great physician. We declare healing upon all that need that today. Father, you'd provide food and clothes, that you'd provide jobs where jobs are needed. Father, you provide comfort where comfort is needed, and most of all, hope and faith where that is needed. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.